Well, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to read. The Tocha is a little complicated. We're going to read, like, I want to understand just one pasuk tonight. And I actually translated it, but I still don't understand it. We'll see. Basically, at the end of the Tochacha, the Tocha basically says that if you're good, Hashem's going to reward you. And that's a few psukim. There's a whole lot of psukim. If you're bad, you're going to be punished. And then in Perichava pasuk Mem, it says, Visvadu asavodam asavodam asam. They're going to confess their sins. And then the pasuk Mem Aleph is interesting. And pasuk Mem, and then it says in the middle of Mem Aleph, Yikana livavam, they're gonna humble their hearts. Pasuk Mem Bei says Hashem is gonna vezacharti es brisi Yaakov es aves brisi Yitzchak aves brisi Avraham eskor v'aretz eskor. I'm gonna remember the treaty of Yaakov and Yitzchak and Avraham, right? And that's it. It's gonna be over, right? Then Mem Aleph says v'az yirtzus avonam, that their sins will be, you know, they'll be cleansed from their sins, and I'm gonna remember Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov's treaty v'aretz eskor. Remember the land. And then you think after pasuk Mem Bei, all is good. And then there's this strange pasuk. V'aretz te'azeh meham. So I'm just gonna, I wrote you the JPS translation on the bottom. And the land will be forsaken of them. V'atiret es shabsil seha. It's making up for the Shabbos years. B'hashama meham, by being desolate of them. And v'heim yirtzu es avodam, and they will atone for their sin. Because they rejected my rules and spurned my laws. Meaning, it seems that it says that the Bnei Yisrael's sins are going to be punished. That's the psukim before. At some point, they're going to confess. They're going to humble their hearts. Hashem's going to remember the treaty with Avraham and Yaakov. But then pasuk Mem Bei says, and the land will still be desolate. And it will still be destroyed. So why, after Hashem remembers the covenant of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, I would have thought that Hashem remembers the covenant of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and then what's going to happen? And they're going to return, right? But there's this pasuk about the land that will be desolate because making up for the Shabbos years. What are these Shabbos years? You know the Shabbos years? Shemitah, right? Because they didn't observe Shemitah. So it's weird. It's like I'm going to remember the covenant of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, seemingly, and then I'm going to bring them back. Oh, but because of Shemitah, the land's still going to remain desolate. So I would have expected Mem Gimel to be earlier. I would expect it to be like they're punished for their sins, including Shemitah. It seems that I'm remembering the covenant of Avraham and Yaakov, but because of Shemitah, it's still going to be destroyed. So I'm trying to understand this. So a lot of the Mepharshim deal with this, and I want to think about Shemitah in a bit. But let's just see how, like, what are some of the approaches? Like, how do you read this pasuk? How would you read Mem Gimel? I'm just giving you some of my questions. How would you read Mem Gimel? Like, what would you say here? Hashem's remembering his covenant, and then you have Mem Gimel. What's the function of Mem Gimel in the narrative here? You have any thoughts? It's not an easy pasuk to fit in. And as again, I would have assumed you confess, you humble your hearts, Hashem's going to remember his covenant, and then he's going to bring them back. But no, Mem Gimel, the land's still going to be desolate because of Shemitah. Right?
I guess he will be punished, but there's light at the end of the time.
What do you mean by that? Oh, you're saying there's still more punishment. You know, even after I remember...
You admit it, and teshuva, I guess you're not completely off the hook, I guess.
Right. So because I'm just pointing out, like, the psukim before, I didn't bring the whole b'chukos side, the psukim before mentioned punishment. You're saying... Even after they confess their sins, and even after they do tshuva, there still is going to need to be punishment post that, before, okay, because of Shemitah. Which isn't like, why specifically Shemitah, but okay.
I would build on that and say that the first Mem Aleph, Mem Bet, is about the Jews as the Jewish people, and the land is a separate concept.
Right.
And so the Jews can remember the covenant, then they can be forgiven, but the land, they have to kind of earn that. It's a separate...
Right, so you have to think about that. So there seems to be something about the land. I think you're going to get to that, I think. I think there's something about the land. Okay, so I want to share with you really four or five approaches on how to deal with it. And I'm going to get to both David and Josh's point sort of towards the end and think about this, why the land is its own thing. We'll have to think about that. But let's start. The Malbim just says, Zoe tocha batchila. This is a tocha. Mem Gimel is rebuke, meaning... It's a punishment. But chila nasa on Kadosh Baruch Hu derech liYisrael sheikana levavam v'yashuva v'tshuva. And that Hashem says, if you humble your hearts and you return, And because of this, if you subdue your hearts, you humble your hearts, then I'm going to remember my covenant with the Avos, I'm going to redeem them, even before the time, the allotted time when, you know, the end of days, or when they're supposed to return. But if they don't do tshuva, v'aretz teyazeh behem, yishar begolus ad tom hazman shenitzrach lehem lekapara. So the way the Malbim reads it is that v'zacharti is option A, result A, and mem gimel, right? V'aretz teyazeh is option B, meaning they're gonna confess their sins. Hashem's gonna still punish them. Now if Ozi kana levavam harel, if they humble their hearts, then v'zacharti es brisi, then I'm going to remember the covenant, and everything's going to be great. But mem gimel, if not, then the land's going to continue to be destroyed.
That seems like a little bit of a stretch.
Well, you have to, there's no perfect answer. I mean, I would say no perfect answer. It's difficult, because it seems, on the surface it seems, that mem gimel, what's going to happen, is following them doing tshuva. And Hashem responding in kind. So we're stuck. So none of these answers are so great, but you know, sometimes we're struggling with this. I agree with you. The Ramban has another interesting pshat. The Ramban, I think he says something similar to what David wanted to say. We'll get to you, Josh, in the end. But what David wanted to say, the Ramban believes, by the way, you know, there are two tochas, right? There's a tocha here in Bechu Kosai, and there's a tocha in Devarim Kisava, right? So the Ramban believes that there's not only a warning, but it's a prophecy. And the Ramban says that what happened in Bechu Kosai happened when? In the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. What happened in Kisavo is Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay? So the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, that is what we're prophesizing about. And says the Rabban, will perish v'aretz teyazeh behem. The land will be forsaken of them. Ki gav acharei hazechira, that even after Hashem remembers Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the covenants teyazeh behem, the land will still be forsaken of them. Remez, ki acharei pekudas koresh, that after Koresh, right, remember them, after, what does Koresh say? And is it 537, I think, or 538, 539? So he says, the Jews can return to Eretz Yisrael, right? Now, how did they rebuild the base of Midrash right away?
No.
So it took about another, right? So he says, Nezva mehem, v'ratza shmitos ad achrei tshas reshada, shedidah abayis. The land was, still forsaken of them, and because of the Shemitos that they didn't keep, until 19 years later, Shinim Nehabayis, when the basement was built. Okay? And then the Kedusha of the land returned. Okay? And the Ramban has a lot of line here. Kol HaKoros Osam Remuzos V'Parshas Hazov. So whatever happens in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the return to Eretz Yisrael, so that is hinted here in this week's parsha. So therefore, it's sort of what you're saying, that even though Hashem remember the covenant, we didn't return right away for whatever reason. We can think about that. But the Ramban said, sometimes Hashem will remember to bring us back, but things take time, and we can think about maybe the Jews didn't make Aliyah right away, that they delayed, whatever, for whatever reason. But this is a bit of history here. So in other words, it's not, you know, it doesn't return right away, but it's a slow process. Ibn Ezra, third approach. He says, look what he says. V'aretz teyazeh mehem. Tamo, the reason is, eskor gam aretz shepro'o es ha-shabosus v'nezva mehem, gam eskor shehem hirtzu es avodah. Ibn Ezra reads it like this. V'aretz eskor, and I'm going to remember the land that what? Mem gimel, that was forsaken from his people, and it's because of the annual peace, and because of the Shabbosos, the Shemitah that wasn't observed. In other words, he's saying Mem Gimel is explaining how Hashem is remembering the land. In other words, Hashem is going to remember the covenant of Yaakov, and he's going to remember the land that was forsaken, and then he's going to remember that it was appeased, and then he's going to return. So in other words, Mem Gimel is not what's going to happen after Hashem remembers the covenant, that he then will continue having the land be destroyed and desolate. Mem Gimel is simply saying, the Aretz Eskor, I'm going to remember the land. What did I remember about the land? Mem Gimel, that the land was forsaken for so many years, and therefore it was an atonement for all the years of Shemitah that Bnei Yisrael didn't keep. Okay. So these first three approaches don't really focus so much on what Josh was saying about the focus of the land. The first three are either saying that Mem Gimel is going to happen if they don't do tshuva, or they're going to say even though they did do tshuva, it's a process, right? And that's actually what happened with Korah. Says you can return, some of the Jews start returning, but the base is not built for 19 years. Or Ibn Ezra is saying that Mem Gimel is a reflection of what happened in the past. That Hashem said, I'm going to remember the land, and that the land was forsaken. It was desolate for many years because of Shemitah. Comes to Kli Yakar, and he says this. Kli Yakar says, V'yaris teyazeh behem eteres eshap soseha. And the land will be forsaken, and it will, it's making up for its Shabbos's that were missed. Ki mitchila haisa tovas el boda uvitel shmitoseha. Because initially, the land itself made a claim that, you know what, they didn't keep my Shemitah years. It's bad for me. The land sort of spoke to God, as it were. Yeah. And he says, V'achar shedase din b'choltim. And after Hashem did judgment with these sinners, az ha'aretz teyazeh behem, velo tiyak kovelas od al bitu shapsasa. So he said, V'aretz teyazeh behem means the land will leave from its complaint. It will no longer complain anymore for the lack of Shemitah years. V'tiretz, what's v'tiretz? Hainu tia merutza badavar. In other words, the Kli Yakar is explaining that Hashem said, remember the covenant of Avraham and Yaakov, I remember the land, and the land will no longer have its claim over the fact that we didn't keep the Shemitah year, and it will be appeased for its lack of observance of Shemitah because the land was desolate. So it doesn't mean that it's going to continue to be desolate. We're talking about the land. It's going to say, not a big deal anymore. I'm good. And we're ready to come back to the land. And again, what's interesting, Josh, as you pointed out, is that it's a little strange because there are many mitzvos that Bnei Yisrael may not have kept. So like, Ma'inyan Shemitah, it's a tochacha, to paraphrase. No, first Rashi, right? My name is Har Sinai. But why it's interesting that it's like we're concerned about all the sins that Bnei Yisrael failed to observe, and then we're concerned about Shemitah, but with the land. Like the land has feelings. Okay? Before we get to that, another way of looking at the land, Josh's approach, I knew he would make that comment, so I brought two sources to reflect your approach. You look at the Tzror Hamor. It's more of a Hasidic commentary, but it is a very fascinating approach. He says the following. How could the Torah then say, after mentioning Schus Avos is a reason to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael, then it's going to say the land will be desolate. Well, what is the desire with this? Hashem really didn't want to punish, didn't want to exile the Bnei Yisrael. He wanted to do kindness with Bnei Yisrael because of the merit of the Avos. Even though Hashem wanted to do chesed with them, the judgments of Hashem are truth, are righteous. There needs to be midas adin also, measure of justice. Even though Bnei Yisrael committed many grave sins, Hashem Yisparach Yichaper Lahem Avonosei, but Hashem atoned for their sins. Al Kozeh Haya Bielim Avon Gadol. There was a great sin. Shehu Avon Hashmita. It's a sin of Shmita. Shehi Shkula Kedem Kol Averos. Oh, that sin is like all the other averos. Shamar Ba Vishav Sar Shabbos Hashem. You should rest. The land should rest. It's like a Shabbos for God. V'lachein Kasha Hashem Yisparach Ratzel LeGolam. Therefore, when Hashem originally wanted to redeem them and to atone for their sins and to remember the schus of their ancestors, the land came and complained before God. Vamra and said, Ribono Shel, Master of the World, you said in your Torah, you wrote your Torah, that you're going to do justice to those who are oppressed. Land said, I'm oppressed. Why don't you do? Why don't you do for me a judgment? Sha'avru Torah Secha, that they violated your Torah. Shilaratu lishmor shmita saaretz, they didn't want to observe the shmita of the land. V'yata kasafta oz tirtzeh haaretz shabbosah, the land will be at peace for its Shabbases. Uchshara shabisparach tvarav v'tadoseh tzalku yachto, and when Hashem saw its words and its claims, that they screamed together, they cried out together. Amar, he said, roi li liskor haaretz. When the haaretz eskor, what does it say? I remember the covenant, obviously, with Yaakov, and I remember the land. Roi li liskor haaretz, v'lasa lo din yosh. I have schus avos, but I also have to deal with the land. And v'lachein v'aretz yazem ha'am et heretz ha'shab so'seha, k'dina Torah. V'zay yourself it over. Therefore, the land needs to be forsaken, like the Torah says, and then through the sins, there'll be a peace. So it's interesting, again, the Kli Yakar and the Tzora Amor have different takes on this. But they're both basically saying that there's a separate claim for the lands. The Kli Yakar is saying that initially Hashem sort of, dealt with them, and the land had no more, once the Bnei Yisrael did tshuva and they were punished, then the land had no more claim. Why should the land have a claim? Tzora Amor, it gives the land more of a personality. And they're saying Hashem wanted to actually do chesed to the Bnei Yisrael because it's chesavos, but then on the other hand, he had the land, and the land forced him to do midas adin, so the Bnei Yisrael were punished. Like, what? Why do we care so much about the land and about Shemitah? And by the way, just if you turn the page, so the truth is, earlier on in the Tochacha, it is true that there is a mention of this particular sin in Perek, the same Perek in Pasuk. You know, Hashem says, going to make the land desolate, and Pasuk Labadad, Oz Tirseha, Oretz Shapsil Seha, Kol Yubei Hashemah, Vatera Be'eretz Oyvehem, Oz Tishpasa, Oretz Vatirseha, Shapsil Seha. The same idea, right? He says, the land will be appeased for its Shabbases, all the days of its desolation, and you and the land of your enemies, and then the land will be, the land will stop. It'll be appeased for the Shabbases. Kol Yom Hashabbat Tishbos. All the days of the desolation, it will stop. Eis Asher Lo Shavsa B'Shapsel Seichem B'Shit Chalad. The land will stop from working. Right, the land's not going to work during the 7 years of exile because it was supposed to cease from working on the during the Shemitah years or during the first base of Midas. It's almost like the Shemitah is the way that Tzora Hamor is looking at this. He's like, I needed a break, and the Bnei Yisrael, they made me work, and so I needed a break. So I need 70 years of not doing anything. It's like a little strange, of course. But then you got to wonder a little bit, like, is it really true? So again, you can look at the Tzora Amor, and he says that that Shemitah is corresponding to all. First of all, Chazal do that a lot. You say, so this mitzvah is like all the mitzvahs of the world. Like, why is Shemitah so central? Why do you think Shemitah is so central? Like, why do they... In other words, B'chukosai is about, if you fail to observe my Torah, right, then you're going to get punished. And again, you talk about the galus, the exile at the time of the first base of Midrash. So here we talk about lack of Shemitah. But if you read the Nevi'im, what were the sins of the Nevi'im? Like the Nevi'im mentioned. And throughout Navi, what are the sins that are mentioned?
I don't know if that's answer that, but I think maybe why Shemitah is so important is because it really demonstrates trust in God.
It's okay, so right, so it could be right. So it kind of makes you wonder, like all these heter mechiras, is that still like a lack of trust in God? I was thinking about it, it's a serious question, right? So is that a lack of trust in God?
That's a good question.
There are certain mitzvahs that can only be done in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
So.
I know, but it's not Meister, it's not other things. But if you look through the Navi, and what were the sins really that they were committing at the time of the first base of Migdash? I mean, your point is well taken. Maybe it's like it's an Amuna thing. Sura Mor is almost
sexual immorality.
Right. It's Gila Raya's Sinashina is the second base of Migdash. But Gila Raya, the big three, Gemara Yoma says what? Avodah Zarah is a lot of that, Shvichot Stavim, Gila Raya. So you don't find a lot of Shemitah. So what's interesting is that But the Torah specifies the Shemitah here. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel, says that with the sin of Gil Arayas, Avodas Kochavim, that you would think Shvichos Dabim. But it says, and Ashmata Shemitah V'Yovlim. And those Shmita Yovel, Golus Bali Olam. And he brings our Pasuk from this week's Parsha, that that because of Shmita, there's a Golus. And then, but there's a Gemara in Yoma which says that the first base of Israel was destroyed because of three cardinal sins. What is so unique about Shmita? Again, I don't mean to... it could be an Amunah thing. I think one way of looking at it is... Okay, the Tzura Mor, we have to think about this, because you're making the land feel bad. They have a claim, you didn't rest. Yeah, maybe.
Also, it's an agricultural society. And right. It's like foundational to that.
It's foundational to what? I mean, you said it's about Amunah, you're saying. I mean, what do you mean by foundational?
No, I said to their way of life. Agriculture.
Right, and they're for what? So when they don't keep Shemitah, so they're for what? So you're saying that they're... It's a lack of Amunah was something that's so foundational to their life, you're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
Right, right. So in other words...
And also the big three holidays are... There's words about, like, seasons.
Right. Yeah, their agricultural holidays are certainly related to agriculture. So we're saying that this is... If you don't observe this agricultural sabbatical, then this may impact, I guess... Other, right? You have to think about that. Like, it's a little, maybe. I mean, maybe. And we're saying that impacts your, if you don't have enough emunah, that if you don't, I mean, you want to try this? Don't work for a year. So if you don't have, I'm thinking about this, like, that's a hard one, no? It's like a hard one, not to work for a year. And then, and it's not really true. They didn't. So maybe. Now, there definitely is an approach. I'm going to share with you another way of looking at this. The Maram Shik asked this question. And he says, What do you mean? I thought the three cardinal sins were Gilah Rashivichos Dabin Avodah Zarah. Where does Shemitah come in? And he says that you know what you do in Shemitah? What are you doing? What are you doing when you're not?
You're learning.
That's what he says. That just like on Shabbos, right? What do you do on Shabbos? You're not working, so that's a day of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Heightened spirituality. It's not merely that you're taking off from work. Shabbos is not merely I have emunah that I will find work. Like you know, the people first came across the Atlantic Ocean in the beginning of 1900s. They're going to find work, when they tell them, don't come to work. If you don't come Saturday, don't come back the week. So that's also a real emunah thing, 100%. So you can look at Shabbos as a source of emunah, but you can also look at it as, you know what, 6 days I'm working really hard. I need to provide for my family, 100%. But Shabbos is the time we take off so that we can focus on spirituality. Because we can't do that. We can't focus during the week. It's very hard. You guys are amazing. You're here. Baruch Hashem. It's great. Right? You had long days of work. You're exhausted. Okay? But you came. So kudos to you. Kudos to you all. So at Shabbos, that's a day of spirituality. So therefore, same idea. 6 years we work. Seventh year is like a national renaissance to recalibrate, to refocus, to rethink spiritual priorities every 7 years. That's what he writes. And if you don't do it now, you can understand if a nation is if the way that if a Jewish community goes on and on and on, and they don't take time to really recalibrate and to focus on their spiritual priorities, then that's something which could lead to like that everything else falls apart. There's sometimes you need that time off. The Emes the Yaakov makes the same comment, and he says that he says that what does it mean that they didn't keep the Torah. Like they didn't keep the Shemitah. Is it true they didn't keep the Shemitah? No one kept the Shemitah of all seven? He says, no. What it means is they didn't keep it because they weren't Osik B'Torah during that time. Maybe some of them did keep the Shemitah at some different periods of time, but they didn't use it for what its purpose. In other words, it's not something the sin itself, Shemitah, because we don't see it. We see their sins of idolatry. We see the sins of, you know, oppressing the poor, the weak, the oppressed. We see the sins of sexual immorality. We see those sins in the Navi. We don't see them saying, not keeping the Shemitah. Yeah, what do you want to say?
What exactly is the punishment for not keeping the Shemitah that's in the Pasuk here?
It just says that the one of the... This Shemitah seems to be the only... The failure of Shemitah seems to be the cause for... It's mentioned... It just said, if you don't follow my laws... Then all these bad things are going to happen, and so twice during the Tocha, it says it's because of the lack of Shemitah that this happened. But it's not just that. Now, it's the only sin that's specified here in the whole Tocha, I think, and it's mentioned twice. So what I'm suggesting, what I think the Emes Yaakov and the Maram Shik are both saying, is that the lack of you not using the opportunity that Shemitah presents to the Bnei Israel of spiritual recalibration. Not, in other words, in order for a community to thrive and to be on the right path, it needs to be like a national, educational program, Jewish education. We need Jewish education.
Right.
So here they're saying the every 7 years we needed the entire nation with Jewish education. That's the engine which drives the nation. And without that, then everything else could fall apart.
So it's basically like for Bittelsmann. If you're Bittelsmann, then
it leads to that. What I'm arguing is that it leads to that. In other words, it can't just be because of that. I mean, it could be because of that. You could say that. Or you could say there were other sins. Gemar Yoma says it was the three cardinal sins. But you can't just go with the flow. You need to proactively be intentional about your growth in spiritual life. You can't just simply, I'm doing this, like, just go on. You need time every Shabbos. And ideally, in the Shemitah years, once every 7 years, at least in biblical times, for everyone to gather together to refocus and recalibrate.
But so why don't we have that in America? Because in America, even more so, people need more time to
spiritually... Because I think the Torah wants to make another point, that really Jewish life is really supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. So that's... it's presenting an ambitious picture, specific in Eretz Yisrael. And then we try to modify that. But I think the point I think maybe of the focus of Shemitah is that it's not only about, I think it is partially God runs the world. It's, it's Emuna. But I think it's more than that. I think it's about the message is about institutionalizing time for Torah, reflection, and communal spiritual growth. And when that structure collapses, if there's not vibrant Talmud Torah going on, or opportunities for reflection and spirituality, then I think the Torah will not remain stable in other areas. That moral and religious failures will follow as a consequence of a society that lost its internal spiritual rhythm. And I think that might be what's going on over here.
If that was the case, then